Hi, welcome to the Amateur Tarot On Demand digital radio show, where on this podcast, we two completely non-mystical people or hosts use the power of tarot to answer your questions.
For entertainment purposes only.
Hello, that was the voice of Brian Dooley, my good friend and now new show partner forever.
And that show partner forever is Seth Schroeder.
Yeah.
And we are best friends forever, because that's how it's always been.
Yep. There has never been any configuration of this show other than what is currently existing. And we will not listen to any other claims to the contrary.
It's a real Mandela effect.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you're just visiting this show for the first time, you'll just know you don't have to listen back to any other episodes, because it's always been like this and it always will be.
Yeah.
But what we do on this show is we read the tarot. And we read one very specific spread. There are lots of different tarot spreads that you can use. There's the Celtic Cross. There's the Kansas City Shuffle.
Is that a real one?
It is now, because we said it on the show.
Awesome.
I like to think of things that, like, grifters call their cons.
Sure, sure. So it'd be like a Philadelphia slap around.
Yep, okay. Something like that.
That's not a thing, I hope.
But we don't do any of those complex spreads. We are completely unqualified to do this. We're dilettantes in the world of mysticism and tarot. And so we just do a basic three-card spread. And those cards indicate, in the order in which we draw them, the recent past, the current actions, and the future.
100% money-back spiritual goal guaranteed outcome for entertainment purposes only.
Outcome. And so that's all you're going to need to know. And then we do a card of the week for one lucky lol.
No, the opposite.
The opposite of that. Yeah, you explain it.
Okay.
You've been doing this longer than I have.
Of course, yeah. We all know that. No, it's for the rest of our listeners who maybe didn't get chosen or didn't get their question chosen, but will still provide some guidance for them on their upcoming week.
Excellent. So without any further ado, should we go ahead and jump in?
Yeah. Let's hop on over to Querent's Corner, a place that I've visited many times.
And here we are in Querent's Corner, a place that you've been many times.
Yes. You can really tell how I've put my own touches on this location.
Yeah. It looks great.
Thank you.
This week, our question comes from Courtney in St. Louis. And we've had a Courtney in St. Louis before. I don't know if it's the same Courtney or not, so we'll assume that it's not.
Yeah.
Because the 10% of people that are not Stevens or Sarahs, we need to really spread them out.
Right. So Courtney asks, she gives additional context first before her question. So this is the voice of Courtney. I should just get going. Courtney says, I work in an office where certain workers do not clean up after themselves. They leave their dirty dishes for weeks on end, and it's getting really gross. These dishes have been in the sink for several weeks, and we have a dishwasher. I'm not sure what to do. Do I post a sign that says, clean up after yourself, confront them, or just keep quiet in my office? Yeah, well, Courtney, you probably sent us this question a couple weeks ago, so God only knows how long those dishes have been there now.
Yeah, I hope that they've been there. Like, I like adding to the import of the answer. Like, it makes it very, very meaningful what we say here.
Yes.
Do you have any pre-advice for Courtney?
I feel like the only advice I can give her is just magic advice on office etiquette.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what magic advice is that?
Well, I'm hoping the cards would tell us.
Oh, you're hoping. No. Okay. That makes sense. Okay. I really feel for Courtney in this situation because I avoid confrontation at all costs.
Sure.
You know this, having done the show with me for the past year and a half. You know how conflict averse I am.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult for me to go to someone and tell them that I have some sort of beef with them, especially if I don't know them really, really well.
Right.
So this question gives me anxiety. This question is stressing me out already.
Yeah. I can definitely understand that. And, you know, I understand your perspective on that very well from having been co-host with you on this show. for the entire show's history. And
do you remember?
Yeah,
October 31st of 2016, when we recorded our first episode.
Boy, do I!
Oh man,
yeah, those were great times that I was 100% involved in. Yes. Dishes give me anxiety.
Just oh, in wow. general.
Yeah.
But conflict, how are you with conflict?
Also anxious.
So that's double anxious.
It's double anxious. I did used to be a professional dishwasher when I was 16. That was my source of income to save up for college. So I know a thing or two about doing dishes or not doing them.
Where did you do the professional dishes?
Is a restaurant called Bella Milano.
Bella Milano. What a beautiful Milano.
Oh, yeah. We got that a lot. No. in Edwardsville, Illinois.
Oh.
Yeah. If you are in Edwardsville, Illinois, I just check out a different restaurant because that job sucked.
So. Yeah. And they lost their dishwasher.
Yeah. So. No one's been washing dishes since I left 10 years ago.
And all right.
And started this show immediately after.
Well, let's go ahead and dive into answering Courtney's question with the magic of the cards. This week, we are going to be using the Starry Night Tarot, which I just received in the mail like 3 days ago.
Yeah. And you had learned something about this tarot deck recently?
Well, I learned it when I opened it.
Okay.
Why don't you go ahead and describe
Sure.
some of the artwork. And
So unsurprisingly, there's a lot of star imagery in this artwork. And a lot of the colors used kind of have like a hazy or rough quality to them. Very similar to if you were like drawing with a lot of crayons. Like there aren't a lot of distinct lines. So lots of yellow and blue colors used. But then not a lot of very specific images. Most of the cards of the deck just kind of use the same like cup, sword, wand over and over and over again.
Yeah, and that's what I learned about this deck after I received it, is that it's a Tarot de Marseille deck. Mm-hmm. And I am very comfortable with and familiar with different Rider-Waite clones, different decks that use Rider-Waite imagery and symbolism. And so that helps me be able to remember how to tell the story when I'm reading for someone. And this deck, I had only seen some of the artwork from the majors, and I love the style of the artwork. But then when I received the deck, I realized I won't be able to use this deck very often because it does just have pip cards.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not the one that can rate this deck. You right. know that this has always been your role.
Right, this has always been my job.
Of rating these decks. Mm-hmm. So out of 5 stars, 1 star being it's painful to look at, and 5 stars being you can't bear to put it down.
Yeah.
How many stars would you give this deck?
I think it's tough because I do really enjoy a lot of the artwork of this deck, but the fact that so many of the cards do feature that pip imagery like you described, it's kind of disappointing because I would have liked to see more unique illustrations. So I'm probably going to give it like a 3, where I think it's got a lot of good qualities to it, but I think I would find myself kind of bored with reading it after a while.
That's a pass from me too, dog.
I just found some. This deck is a thank you card.
Oh, there was a thank you card
about the illustrator card.
It says, "Thank you so much for purchasing this deck. I hope this one finds you well. May this deck give you what you're looking for. Love and light, Ashley." Ashley's the artist. And we have said that we do really like the artwork on this card, absolutely. These cards, and we would just like to see more of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all shuffled up here?
I can't shuffle as well as you. You know that.
Oh, I know.
Right.
I just didn't know if they were shuffled already.
Oh.
Whoops. No, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes I get scared that I've shuffled my cards in upside down because we don't read reversals here.
Mm.
But this deck apparently was not made for reversals because it has a one-way background, so it's easy to tell.
Oh, okay.
But no deck for me is made for reversals. Ha 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 ha.
Take that, reversals.
Yeah. Let's remember what Courtney said. She works in an office where certain workers are disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
They leave their dirty dishes for weeks, and there's an empty dishwasher just sitting, waiting to be used. So Courtney wants to know, what does she do? Does she post a sign that says clean up after herself? Does she confront them? Or does she just keep quiet?
Yeah.
So, for the recent past...
Flip.
The Three of Pentacles, the Three of Coins.
Mm-hmm.
And the Three of Coins has a picture of three coins with a ribbon running through them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole picture. But...
Surprise there.
The picture on the Rider-Waite deck. I was just vamping so I could remember what the Rider-Waite deck looks like.
Sure.
The Three of Pentacles is an architect and like a noble person and then a worker all working to put together this intricate church fresco or something like that.
Okay. So is it representing a construction of maybe something new but the early stages of that?
Yeah, that is one piece of it. It also represents like an accord between three different parts or an accord between different parties. Mm-hmm. Teamwork is a good use for it. So as far as this goes with your question, maybe up to this point, things have been smooth sailing mm-hmm. with these people. You haven't had any problems and you've been able to work together to accomplish some things.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
I think that's good.
Flip.
The Five of Swords. And this has a pic. These are cool looking swords.
They are. They're very cool.
They're kind of like gladiuses, mm-hmm. Except they have crossbars where a gladius doesn't have a crossbar. Look it up, folks. I'm telling you the truth.
And the blades are glowing against a night sky. So mm-hmm. they're very fantastical looking.
And the Five of Swords is a card I can't remember. I could tell you what the Six of Swords is, and I could tell you what the Four of Swords is. The Five of Swords... Oh, boy. Five of Swords is...
Frustration?
Yeah. The Five of Swords in a Rider-Waite deck is not just five swords stacked against the sky. Mm-hmm. It's the one person has won a battle, and another person has definitely lost it. It's... a zero-sum game and only one person can win. And so you may be the winner, but you're acutely aware that someone is losing this.
Right.
Or someone is the winner and someone is the loser. And mm-hmm. it sounds like right now, whoever's not doing the dishes is the quote-unquote winner.
Mm.
And then the whole office is the loser.
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of showing that even if this conflict does have someone gaining from it, there's still this loss of energy that comes from the conflict in general.
Yeah, the way that my brain takes it is if you confront these people, yeah, they may do the dishes, but then there's going to be this weird tension.
Yeah.
Because they're going to know that you were angry with them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my anxiety taking me for a ride. That's just how I feel about conflict in general.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, just knowing that, let's go into the future and see what the future card holds mm-hmm. and see if that makes things better.
Flip.
The King of Cups. The King of Cups is, it could be you or it could be somebody else. And I think in this situation, it's you, Courtney. I think it's someone that is very comfortable in themselves and very comfortable with how they feel about things. It's someone who is able to exert their emotional maturity and be able to take care of it. So I think this is saying dive into conflict.
Yeah. And I think to maybe try and approach it, perhaps like dispassionately explaining how it affects you and maybe the rest of the office. So to have control over your feelings, but still have them expressed to the people who are not contributing. To me, in terms of, you know, the specific actions to take, I would think being as direct as possible would be great, which would likely not involve a sign or just, you know, ignoring the problem. Would be in some way communicating directly with the people responsible.
Yeah, I think that's good. Let's just let's circle around. I think this is a pretty clear story, but let's circle around and just do it one more time, all in long form. We start off with the Three of Pentacles, which says that things have been working. You've been working together before, and it's been fine. And then we get to the Five of Swords, showing us that right now there's a time when there's going to be a winner and there's going to be a loser. There's going to be consequences for the victory here. Which, again, this is me coloring it, but it's probably going to be some sort of static or tension in the office afterwards. But then we get to the Knight of Cups. Oh, this is the Knight of Cups.
Whoa.
I thought it was the King of Cups.
That recontextualizes things.
See, this is why pictures matter. I didn't even describe this card.
It's mostly just a cup.
Yeah, it's a cup with blue jewels, and it looks like a tree growing up. Or no, is that a crack in it? I don't know if it's a crack and stuff is pouring out.
Yeah, it almost looks like the surrounding darkness is just kind of like seeped onto the cup.
All right. Hold on just a second. I'm going to flip this card again.
Okay.
No, I'm not. Forget that. We're just going to keep going. All right. So forget what I said about being in charge of your emotions. What does the Knight of Cups say for us as opposed to the King of Cups?
Well, I think whereas the King kind of stands for mastery over the suit, the Knight, while maybe not a master, is still a protector in that regard. And so maybe a protector of this emotional energy. So I think in this case, you know, it could still be you, Courtney, where you are protecting feelings. This could be your own feelings or maybe feelings of those in the office, which to me almost seems like you could go either way. And I think this might be something that we might have to engage with your gut some. If this is confronting this is going to provide a lot of anxiety for you that you really think could very much throw you off, maybe it is to your benefit to protect yourself and protect your own feelings and to just not engage. But if, you know, the inverse in your office, maybe this is hurting morale so much, hurting teamwork so much.
Stinking it up.
Yeah. And just making it a not great place to work.
A hostile work environment.
Yeah. Then maybe you need to step beyond yourself and take care of things for other people.
Just for clarity's sake, we have to say which one that is.
Oh, okay. Well, I think, you know, I think part of being a knight is stepping it up and going beyond yourself to help others.
Should we draw a clarifying card and see?
Let's do that.
All right.
Flip.
The Star. And this has a wonderful piece of artwork. It's a woman, and she's got her eyes closed. She has a very peaceful look on her face where she's in the foreground and it's very close up, and she's holding up one hand, and above her shoulder is a bright star.
Yeah.
And the star to me talks about having a goal, having something in mind that you're going towards.
Right. And I think in this case, in its position as a clarifying card, it makes it clear that this is something that you should engage with the goal of resolving the problem. Clearly, this is a problem that's bothering you. Otherwise, you wouldn't be asking about it. And so having a goal of getting this resolved, I think, is something good to work towards. So with all that in mind, and with all of our various recontextualizings that we've gone through, I think it is to your benefit to try and confront this issue.
All right. Well, you heard it here. You're going to confront this issue, and it may cause a little bit of... It may ruffle some feathers around the office, but it's a good goal to have in mind, and it's a good action to take.
Yeah.
So thank you, Courtney, for your question. I hope that helps. I hope that your sink in your office is as clean as a whistle the next time we hear from each other, and maybe you can shoot us an email and let us know how that went for you. We'd love to hear back from you.
Yeah. If you've got any other questions regarding the fallout of the actions you take, we can do a reading for that too.
Yeah. And so that takes us out of one segment and into another. And so now we are going to do the card of the week. Card of the week this week comes from the Golden Universal Tarot. And this is, it was like the third or the fourth tarot deck that I ever got. So it's very special to me. It has a really beat up box that's held together with duct tape. And I'm surprised I still have the book for it. And I will let Seth describe and rate this deck.
Okay. So it does have a lot of the classical images of the Rider-Waite deck. But it has a gold inlay within it, which really makes a lot of the images pop. And I feel like it's very well done. Like the way the gold is added to the illustration is obviously very thoughtful, to kind of give things a greater foreground and background.
The way that he is looking through the deck indicates to me that my deck is shuffled upside down and right side up, which is very upsetting to me. This whole show is just setting off my anxiety.
Well, not to further exacerbate it, but yes, there are lots of right side up and upside down cards in this deck. But yeah, it's a rather beautiful deck. And I think the twist on the classical imagery makes it great to look at without feeling redundant to some of the classical imagery. And the benefit of that classic imagery makes it easier to read, I think, for us.
Yeah, it's definitely along the line. It's in my comfort zone as opposed to the Starry Night Tarot, which was beautiful, but it's pips, and I don't know what to do with pips. I always have to relate back to the Rider-Waite traditional imagery.
So with that in mind, I think I'm going to give it 5 stars. It's really nice to look at.
All right. If there ever had been another host of this show,
yeah,
which there hasn't.
There hasn't. It's always been us.
But if there had, I'm guessing that this would be one of that host's favorite decks. And that host would be perturbed that they weren't here for this.
Well, that sucks for that theoretical non-existent
that host. Schrodinger's host.
Yes, yes. Well, I mean, except not, because they don't exist.
Oh, yeah, I guess they're not in a state of existing and non-existing.
Right.
They just don't exist.
They've never existed.
Yeah.
And so they can't exist.
So we'll call that Schroeder's host.
Yes. That's great.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and roll that beautiful bean footage.
Flip.
All right. What do we got? We have the Six of Swords.
Yeah. And this card illustrates what looks like a man sitting in a boat with a ferryman piloting it, and the boat is stuck full of swords. 6 of them, to be exact. And the gold inlay here is radiating rings in the background of the sky. It's very pretty.
And the 6 of Swords, the little white book that comes with it, has the keywords as travel, reasoning, curiosity, and transfer. So that's a pretty positive take on the 6 of Swords. I don't know what your take on the 6 of Swords is usually, but for me, it is about traveling. It's about a journey. It's about making a move somewhere, but it's somewhere that you're like obligated to go. You're not super happy about having to do it.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, I think there's like a woman and a child in the boat, and this time it is just a traveler, and the swords usually look like they're going into the bottom of the boat, but these don't look like that. They look like they're going into the seats.
Yeah.
So that's safer.
Yeah.
So maybe in general, this is just a kinder take on it.
Yeah. I mean, I think with the 6 of Swords, it's usually talking about a transition of some kind. And I think in a lot of ways, it's maybe a transition you chose. It's a journey you're choosing to go on. And so in that way, it's probably good. It's probably for your benefit, even if it might be coming with some element of risk or some element of difficulty. That even though this is a good journey for you, just know that any kind of journey comes with complications or things you're leaving behind.
Yeah, that's good. That's almost like the 8 of Cups.
Mm-hmm.
That where you have the traveler walking away from all of their cups that they've built over time, walking away from what they have built in their life into a new adventure. Mm-hmm. This is kind of like that, except it's got more of a feeling of something that has to be done.
Right. Right.
So what's that mean for this week?
I think our listeners this week should keep this card in mind for next steps that they might be taking, in whatever that is. Recognizing that their journeys or actions that they're taking, even if it is for their benefit or something they feel compelled to do, and that even if it's for their own good, that it can still come with risks. So definitely go on those journeys, take those next steps, but just know that there's always going to be something you leave behind, and to keep that in mind when you're doing this.
Excellent. Well, that takes us to the end of the show, Seth.
Yeah.
And you know that because you've helped shape this show since its inception.
Right. So we definitely like to thank Courtney for her question. It's interesting to try and settle office conflicts with mystical tools.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would prefer to solve all my office conflicts that way.
I would prefer to solve every problem that way.
That's true. Office conflicts in particular can be so boring. It'd be way more interesting if we used magic.
Yeah. I look forward to a day when this is our office, when all we have to do is answer people's questions via on-demand internet radio.
Right. Right. So thank you to our listeners for
helping to make
that possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
let's take a moment of silence for any lost laws over the last week. All right.
Man, I thought that moment was going to last forever.
Yeah.
So much silence.
Where can people find us, Seth?
They can find us at amateurtarot.com.
They can email us at amateurtarotreading@gmail.com.
Or they could call us or text us, maybe?
No, they can't text us.
No, they can't text us. I knew that. But they could call us at 314-325-6047.
Hold on, vamp. I'm going to find out if they can text us.
All right. We're going to test this out live on the air with you. So please be patient with us. Just as you've always been patient with me, you've helped me get through a lot of rough times in my life. We were all there, you know, that day. You know what day I'm talking about. I don't need to go into it in any kind of specific detail.
Oh, because, please do.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, it was a rough day. But it's what inspired me to go further in this podcast and really dedicate my life to it. That is an excited face that's cutting off my story, but that's fine.
Yes, you can text us a question.
You can text us. Mm-hmm.
At 314-325-6047.
Look at that, discovery.
And if you text us with a question or call us in the next 10 minutes, within the next 10 minutes of us recording this, you will receive one free pair of black fake Ray-Ban sunglasses.
Ooh, a lot of people are going to be vying for that.
Yep, don't fall all over yourselves.
Nope.
But call in or text in, I guess.
Yeah.
This is a wonderful new addition. Mm-hmm. We've had this phone number since October. No one has ever called it. And I hope that we will continue having it forever.
Yeah.
Whether people call it or not.
Yeah.
You can get in touch with us on Twitter at Tarot Amateur. You can get in touch with us on Instagram at Amateur Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
You can get in touch with Seth on Instagram.
Yeah, at Seth Schroeder Photo.
And you can get in touch with me on Twitter at Zen Iron Man. You can touch, if you wanted to get in touch with someone named Ben, you could get in touch with them on their website, imakingallthisup.com. And you could say, hey, congrats on getting married, Ben, whoever you are. Or, hey, I hope you're having good luck in the things you're working on.
Whatever they might be.
Whatever they might be.
Yeah.
And as always, Seth has some words for those who may want to leave us a review but can't seem to remember it.
So for those of you who would like to do that, I want to recommend constructing a palace of the mind, just as I do every week. And this week, why don't you make your palace like a Barbie dream home? You know, just filled with all the amenities you could possibly want. Everything is perfect and you don't have to question where anything comes from because this is your dream palace and none of those logistics are important. And then, after you've done that, you'll be able to engage in the height of perfection, which is leaving us a review on iTunes.
Yes. And this week's review, our featured review, comes from Britt Maupin. And Britt says,
I don't know much about tarot, ... That's the title.
5 stars.
And then, ... But this is funny, semi-educational, and the hosts make it a blast.
The hosts, thank you. That's us.
That's us. That is, he's definitely referring to the both of us.
We've been here the whole time, and we make it a blast.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Thanks, Britt.
Yeah, thank you.
Please find us on Facebook also. We have a Facebook fan page for the show, and then we also have a Facebook group where people can interact with me mainly, and maybe sometimes Seth, if Seth wants to pop in there every once in a while.
Yeah, maybe now that I've been hosting the show forever, I will engage with the Facebook group.
Yeah, and it's just a fun thing, so we can build our community, and we can get better at making shows that you want to listen to. And speaking of shows that you want to listen to, coming up on July 12th at the Monocle in St. Louis, we have a live show coming up. So find it online. There's a Facebook event for it, and you can find it on Eventbrite. It's Amateur Tarot Live on July 12th at the Monocle in St. Louis.
Yeah, and just want to send out a thank you to Rox. Thanks, Rox. I think you're fun to pick up and look at and maybe throw.
Right on. Well, we'll talk to you all next week, okay? Bye.
Great.
I think that's what they say on American Idol, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
I don't know. I don't watch American Idol.
No, I don't know why that show very much
came into my head.